anti-unity through your experience, strength, and hope in our wide variety of workshops. This is an open retreat. All are welcome to attend. However, we ask that only add and share it during workshops. In accordance with our seven tradition, we are fully self-supporting. The money we pay for this camp and its services, as well as helping to carry the NA message throughout our area, comes from registrations. If you have not registered, please see someone at the registration table. If you have any questions, thank you for registering. We should remember that our actions this weekend are a direct reflection of Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. Let's carry the NA message, not the mess. Due to liability and safety reasons, no one is permitted to use the rock climbing wall or any other sports activity equipment at the tabernacle. Please see a retreat committee member if you have any questions. What is the NA message? Our message is that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope, and the promise is freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, because that is all we have to give. That no addict anywhere need die from the horrors of active addiction. That's from the basic text, page 65. The NA way. In Narcotics Anonymous, we are presented with a dilemma. When NA members identify themselves as addicts and alcoholics, cross addicts, or talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. To speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases, that one drug is separate from the rest. Narcotics Anonymous makes no distinction between drugs. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive, allowing us to concentrate on our similarities, not our differences. To the press, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. Any members of the press are present. Please come see the registration table, where you will be referred to our public information chairperson. We respectfully ask that no pictures be taken during the unity retreat by the press. If any NA members are approached by the press, please refer them to the registration table. Remember, no one person represents NA. Please do not attempt to represent NA to the press alone. Thank you. And then we have a couple housekeeping announcements real quick.
Sarah. We are going to be hanging t-shirts from all the previous retreats where everyone registered tonight, and we'll be raffling them off throughout the day tomorrow. We will announce the winner after the main speaker tomorrow. We're also going to be raffling
a custom fire poker. Lance, are you here?
Yeah.
You have it? Hold it up. So we're going to raffle that off. That was actually made, me and a grand sponsee and a sponsee helped make that here on site. So you guys can register to win that. It's pretty cool. Right?
Yep.
And that's it. Please do not park your vehicles on the grass anywhere. So try to stay in the gravel if you can. No burnouts, please. Have a good time. All right, thank you guys. Hello everyone, welcome. My name is Jim, and I am definitely an addict.
Jim.
I'm sorry, registration's gonna reopen at 8 o'clock right after, so if you didn't get registered, please do so. And please help me open with a moment of silence for the addict who's still suffering, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
If you have a reading, please come down and read it. Can we have Who's an Addict, please?
I'll be joking, somebody else.
My name's Sarah, I'm an addict.
Sarah.
Most of us do not have to think twice about this question we know. Our whole life in thinking was centered in drugs in one form or another. Forgetting, using, and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or a woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same. Jealous institutions and death.
Thanks, sir. Thanks, sir.
Can we have What is the NA Program, please?
Sure.
I'm Drew and I'm an addict. NA is a nonprofit fellowship for society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There's only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement group, and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used, who your connections were, what you've done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person in any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Thank you. Thanks.
And why are we here, please?
I'm Gavin Omnatic. Before coming to the Fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed their use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibility, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we've lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods were sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until in desperation we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized that we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point and recovery is then possible.
Thanks.
How it works, please.
Molly, I'm an addict.
I'm Molly.
How it works, if you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. These are principles that are made our recovery possible. 1, we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying for only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. It sounds like a big order, and we can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does it. There's one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. 3 of these that are indispensable are honestly open-mindedness and willingness. With these, we are well on our way. We feel that our approach to the disease of addiction is completely realistic, for the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, for one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe the sooner we face our problems within our society and everyday living, just that much faster do we become acceptable, responsible, and productive members of that society. The only way to keep from returning to active addiction is to not to take the first drug. If you are like us, you know that one is too many and 1,000 never enough. We put great emphasis on this, for we know that when we use drugs in any form or substitute one for another, we release our addiction all over again. Thinking of alcohol as different from other drugs has caused a great many addicts to relapse. Before we came to NA, many of us viewed alcohol separately, but we cannot afford to be confused about this. Alcohol is a drug. We are people with the disease of addiction who must abstain from all drugs in order to recover.
Thanks. The 12 traditions, please.
Hey, John.
We
keep what we have only with vigilance and justice. Justice, freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps. The freedom for the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addicts who still suffer. Six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Understanding these traditions comes slowly over a period of time. We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. It isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that personal recovery depends on NA unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow our traditions. The 12 traditions of NA are not negotiable. They are the guidelines that keep our fellowship alive and free. By following these guidelines in our dealings with others in society at large, we avoid many problems. That is not to say that our traditions eliminate all problems. We still have to face difficulties as they arise, communication problems, differences of opinion, internal controversies, and troubles with individuals and groups outside the fellowship. However, when we apply these principles, we avoid some of the pitfalls. Many of our problems are like those that our predecessors had to face. Their hard-won experience gave birth to the traditions. And our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding and application that they work.
Thank you. And we do recover, please.
I'm Jeff in a minute.
Jeff?
When it's the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without. We all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on the best we can to the bitter end, jails, institutions, or death, to find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has improved itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. It's a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thank you, Jeff.
And just for today, please. Jason Addict.
Jason.
Just for today, tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, it doesn't say it on a chair sheet, but I'm going to say it. If you are here tonight and you felt like using, please get with someone after we close the meeting at church. Please.
Get with me.
Sharon, come see me after the meeting. All right? And I have the privilege of introducing the speaker, and it was cool picking the opening speaker. And I got excited when we decided to ask this gentleman to come and serve for us tonight. Without anything further, I'm going to give you Tim G. from the U.S. LNA area of Narcotics. Woo!
Yeah. And he blew that, by the way. USCNA.
Fanatic, my name's Tim.
Tim.
I think we've got to address the elephant in the middle of the room. Richard's not here. And that hurts. and I'm sure a lot of you are hurt by that too. I'm hurt mostly because he was so easy to make fun of. Busting his stones was one of the joys of attending this thing. But he's not here, and I loved him, I care about him, and I just felt like I had to say that. So, you know, how in the hell do you pick a speaker? What, does it have to be somebody that's a lunatic? Because, you know, that could, I could qualify. I should probably say this too. It's an honor to be asked. And once asked, I feel pretty good about myself. I feel, you know, pretty confident. I'm the main opening speaker. And then they read the traditions, and I said to Sean, I think I'm going to throw up. All of a sudden, the opening speaker isn't that big of a deal, and you want to just clear all my... Normally, I speak in front of a lit fire, but apparently Lance couldn't handle that. what can I tell you? Well, I guess I can tell you that the first quarter of the Steelers game is already over. And if this were a regular season game, I may not be standing here. my clean date's April 4th of 1987. And I don't say that as a means of trying to lord anything over anybody, because there's some people here that have some time. That's just my story started back then. My clean time story. My addiction started when I was about maybe 3 or 4 years old. I come from this maniac Irish family that served me shot glasses full of beer. And it was so bad, and I just said this someplace else, my one uncle died, and my other uncles, who a couple of them were from Ireland, went to the funeral home, picked his body up, brought it back to my aunt's house, propped him up on the couch, put a beer glass in his hand, and sat down and had their last beer with him. This is what I saw when I was 5 years old. And I'm walking by going, touch the dead guy. I'm not saying that turned the tide, and at 5 years old, I was ultimately going to be shooting dope by the time I was God knows what. But I went to Catholic schools, all boys Catholic school, until they decided that I'd probably be better off in another school, because I was leading the greasers and the mafia-type kids astray. Look, I'm from Upper St. Clair, and this is where polyester has never been to Upper St. Clair. And I show up at this city school with my sport coat and yachting patch, and these guys have suits that are shiny. They're like mirrors. Their hair's greased back and everything, and so they began... They began kicking the shit out of me pretty much every day, until a friend of mine fronted me a half ounce of pot, and I sold them. Does anybody remember nickel bags? And that was the bad weed. That was bad weed. But it worked. It worked. And all of a sudden, I became protected by these same guys. And I realized that this is my way to be popular. This is my way to fit in. This is my way not to get my ass kicked. Yep. This is beautiful. So that started a long career of, I don't know. I'm a self-made businessman. Let's just call it that. You know, some people say dope dealer. Some people say things like that. By the way, based on labels, I think I need to say this. I'm an addict. I don't have a substance use disorder. I'm a drug addict. I don't suffer from addiction. I'm a drug addict. The scene in the United States is changing. And I don't like it. Of course, I'm an addict, I don't like change. But I don't like the fact that I can't call myself what I really believe I am. And I think sometimes we soft pedal this to newcomers, and I don't want to see that. It's okay to be an addict, even if you're using, because you're sick. When I was out there using, and I was called addict all the time, I knew I was an addict. I didn't think I was sick. I just thought I was less than anybody else. And Boy, I'll tell you what, it felt really good finding out that I may be different than the vast majority, but I have some worth. I'm not that bad. Yeah, I did bad things. I stole more albums. And for you younger kids, albums are these wet, round wax things where the music comes out of. So, the reason that the grocery stores have cartons of cigarettes behind the registers now is me. And you. Okay, a few of us. I used to take orders. And it's so strange because I grew up in an atmosphere where I was at the country club for brunch on Sundays. I wasn't, people are going to jail and I don't do time. I make tea time because, I can't go to jail. And I ended up actually going to jail and that's another story entirely. How many showers do you have to take in a day?
It's not that funny when you drop the soap.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. But my progression was pretty normal, I think, for a group like this. I drank and it made me sick and I hated it, found pot, loved it. And did you ever hear a news story that said six pot addicts were arrested for a riot? If you smoke weed, you might get arrested for stealing Oreo double stuff, but you're not going to fight anybody. But after a while, I tried some pills and they were okay. That led to coke. And everybody knows if you do enough coke, you need to do something to bring you down. So you kind of have to do heroin. It's a rule. So I ended up there. I ran the entire gambit. I was thinking about going to jail, and I blame some of my very short-lived prison time on Quaaludes. And anybody that knows Quaaludes, you are probably retired. And if you know enough about Craig, if you're here, it's a fucking miracle that you are. I used to do those things. I was so high one time in West Hollywood, Florida, I pulled over and I knew I didn't want to get caught by the police because I was so high. So I figured I'd just pull over. And I pulled over in the police station front yard. And I got taken to jail and my family's all connected. And they play cards for fruit in jail. Unbelievable. I've never folded before with a full house, but I did then. If you're the only person in jail that speaks English and you have hair down to your ass, that can be troubling. So just part of my story. I've been in jail a number of times, not prison, jail. And I never had to stay too long because I was connected and had parents with money. And I can remember, in spite of really denying God at all because of all the Catholicism that got shoved down my throat, I'd wind up in jail. And if there is a worse place to get down on your knees than jail, I haven't identified it yet. But yeah, get down on my knees. Help, get me out of this. Help me. If you get me out of this, I'll become a priest. I'll become a nun. I'll be the Pope. I will be a bishop. Of course, I'd get out and straight back to where I was. So enough about that. My dad died of cancer, and 6 weeks later, my mom dropped dead of a heart attack. And took a while to deal with that once I got clean. But 6 months after that, I wound up in treatment. And I wound up in treatment because my enablers died. And it's a shame because if I were to change anything, I would love for them to see me clean and doing what I do now. I'd love to see that happen. I have kind of a belief that my parents somehow know that I'm okay and know that I'm doing all right, but that's just a thing that I have. But I went to this rehab. I won't even mention it. Anyway, and it was, I'd never been to anything like that before. And they put us on a van, the druggy buggy. The first meeting I went to was the Double Bubble in Aliquippa. And when you're in this van and you're driving down the street, people in cars, they know that you're on a druggy buggy. They know you're going to, And so again, what I'm doing is this. Sink it down low, because I don't want the kids are going like this and I'm doing this. But I remember that first meeting, and I remember it like it was yesterday, and I remember them talking about, here's how we celebrate clean time, and people are jumping up and down, and they're doing everything except shaking pom-poms and going nuts. Guys are hugging other guys, and I'm thinking, holy shit, I'm in the wrong place. When they said fellowship, I didn't know they meant this. It was just bizarre. Now, people are getting up for one day. I didn't get up. I didn't stand up. People get up for 30 days. People get up for 60 days. This guy has the nerve to stand up for 1 year clean, and I think, you lying piece of shit. How could anybody be clean for 1 year? You're drinking beer, but you're smoking a weed, right? Oh. Another guy stands up for 5 years, and I said, he's eating mushrooms. By the way, I should probably say this. Did anybody ever eat mushrooms? Okay, there's a couple of people are going, Mushrooms are the only drug that I did deliberately quit because my face was sore from smiling. I also shit my pants on mushrooms, and I knew I had to take a shit, I just couldn't move. So, but that's another thing. Right. Yeah, you people laugh and you shit your pants too, so don't even start. I know why you're laughing. So, this guy's at 5 years clean, I couldn't even believe it. I remember getting on the van and going back to the treatment center and talking about this, and no one else believed him either. No one believed him. Who go figure, a bunch of people in rehab don't believe anybody can have 5 years clean. Well, they told me, I found this out later too. They told me, here's what you need to do. You need to go to 90 meetings in 90 days, get a sponsor, get a home group, and prep. And later on I found out, this is not a rehab thing. This comes directly out of the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous. The rehab stole that shit from us. Somebody owes us some fucking money. No, I think they take credit for that stuff. Yeah, we are our own best solution. And I know there's people, including me, I've gone to for outside help, to therapists or whatever, and sometimes that helps and sometimes doesn't. But nothing matches the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous and what we can do for each other. As long as we remember there's no professionals in the room, and we're not diagnosing people and we're not medicating people, as long as we're just sharing our experience, strength, and hope. Anybody find anything better than that out there?
Nope.
No.
If you do, somebody tell me. Well, it's worked for me for all these years, and I got to tell you, because of that, that's why I'm standing here. The last time I stood here was a few years back with my wife, and we did a thing on relationships. And she went first and lied all about the relationship. And I went next and I told the truth. And the reason I even bring that up, because I'm standing here and I'm thinking about it, is because my wife died on July 2nd. And she had a lot of clean time and was really special. And she had cancer and died over a period of time. And it wasn't like it was a big shock. So we were all ready for it, but when it happens, you're really not ready for it. I can't even describe it. Just coming up there, driving up here, I started thinking about that. I told this to somebody else, and I got the emotion out so that I wouldn't lose my shit in front of all of you people. But that's the last time I was up here, and it worked out well. But anyway, we met in the room. We met at a picnic. And Mingo Park, Washington 1 picnic. You people here know about it. By the way, anybody here from the north side?
Right here.
All there.
Okay, you north side people, do you understand that in the South Hills,
When you're on the other side of the river, the north side goes all the way to Cranberry. You keep on thinking you're in Bellevue and Brighton. No, it's all the north side. That's all there is to it. So we met at a picnic and dated for a couple of years. Ended up getting married. And by the way, when we dated, we both had more than a year. We had that glow-in-the-dark key tag, the license to love. We raised a family, a couple of kids who are out of the will as of today, based on the bullshit that they pulled. I have a 21-year-old daughter and a 24-year-old daughter, and they both recently tested positive for COVID. And this is in spite of the fact that they had double vaccines. But their symptoms were low and everything like that. So because of that, they're out of the house. I'm in the house with this dumbass dog named Charlie. You don't know, this dog's an idiot. And I'm cleaning up the idiot shit. Maybe it's me. But I tested four times, and I never tested positive. My daughter says, why do you think that is? I believe I smoked COVID-19 in the 70s. So I'm not a vaxxer or an anti-vaxxer. That's an outside issue. We have no opinion on that stuff. growing up, it was unusual. My house was open all the time. It was a walk-in house. We sponsored many, many people, and they'd come over. We call the bedroom upstairs, our fourth bedroom upstairs was called the detox wing. We had people that would come in and, oh my God. We did what we needed to do. There was a real tight community in the South Hills and out in Washington, PA, of recovering people. And when somebody came in, we suffocated them. We surrounded them. We didn't let them out of our sight. We were on their shit 24/7. And in spite of that, it didn't always work. Mm-hmm. There isn't anybody here right now that doesn't know somebody who has probably very recently died of a drug overdose. Mm-hmm. And these are people who did not have to die.
That's right.
And they died anyway. I'm in the treatment business, substance abuse. I do interventions. I'm in charge of organizing dysfunctional surprise parties. That's what I do. And that's a more polite way to say. So if I come to your house with your whole family and you didn't know we were coming, you are fucked. Just put 28 pairs of underwear in the bag because you're going something. So that's what I do. But the reason I'm able to do that. It's that I do this. I have a degree in narcotics and anonymous. Yeah, I have some other credentials and all that, but none of them fit as well as being a recovering addict, as well as being able to relate to somebody who's going through some wild shit, who maybe lost a wife, lost kids to an overdose, lost a best friend. You know, I was just part of the Overdose Awareness Day down in Pittsburgh today. The real day is Tuesday, and we've got this line of pictures. And I'm going through this line, there's probably, I don't know, 80 pictures up that we have. And out of these 80 pictures, 20 of them I know. 20 of them I tried to help. 20 of them I talked to. And I got to tell you that my mind says, Timmy, you did everything you could do. My heart says, maybe you could have called them one more time. Maybe you could have gone and picked them up for a meeting. I get conflicted when this kind of stuff happens. I don't have the power to keep anybody clean, but I do have the power to share my experience with the hope that somebody can pick it up and maybe get another day clean. And maybe then one of you can get them the next day, and one of you can get them the next day after that. But see, I can't help you if you don't show up. Look at what you're doing here tonight. A lot of you people have a hell of a lot of clean time. What in the hell are you doing here with all this clean time? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're getting another goddamn day. That's what we do. That's what I do. That's why I'm here. I'm here because of that and because Lance hates me.
The Rolling Stones had a song, and one of my favorite lines is, "You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometime, you just might find you'll get what you need." And if more people would try what we've tried, they could have what we have. I have things. I have a car. Okay. Well, how about this? All the doors are the exact same color. Not one rust-covered primer door. Not one.
Fender.
Yeah. I have a fender that is not attached by duct tape. I do. I have a muffler that is not held up with a coat hanger. These are miracles to a recovering addict. I have my own business. I'm my own boss because nobody can work with me. I'm just too freaking nuts. I have a house. I have this business. I have kids that love me that are sticking by me, just losing their mom. And we're trying to stick close together. I've got all this. I've got trust of my family. And I never had any of that stuff before. Never. I was telling my boy Sean, we were talking about our first car, that I had a Corvair Monza with a little stick shift on the dashboard. I used to go through Eaton Park and put it in neutral and rev it up, and the oil can would fall out of the car. So it wasn't exactly the kick magnet that I thought that it may be. I have a couple of bank accounts. I pay taxes. All
right.
I have insurance. I have become a responsible, productive member of society. And a lot of people say, "Isn't it boring doing that?" And I go, "This is all new, exciting shit for me." You know, people used to come to my door. I'll tell you this one story, and then I'm going to quit. I once was coming from a Steeler game, and I was drunk, and I ended up going to this Pizza Hut because I had to pee. And I knocked on the door, and apparently I was violently knocking. And a guy comes to the door, and he's got a wig and a plastic badge, and work clothes. So I said, "Okay, fine." I get back in my car, pull to the back of the parking lot, get out of my car, open the hood, stand in front of the car to take a pee, figuring if somebody comes by, they'll think I'm trying to fix my car. Mm-hmm. With a really big wrench. Hey, my rent could be any size I want. So apparently this guy, I freaked him out, and he's screaming, and I feel this tap on my shoulder, and I'm peeing. And he goes, "Hey, buddy," and I go, "In a minute." And while I'm still peeing, he turns me around, and I peed all over. Not deliberately, this was his fault. And there were six or seven policemen and a dog named Fritz or something, I don't know. And final score, police 9, Tim 0. They handcuffed me, put me in the back of the police car, and this is in the days when the police cars, you could actually get out of the back.
Yeah.
They went to talk to the manager of Pizza Hut, and I still had the pee, so I left. Which is, I learned, it's called prisoner escape.
When they put you back there, you're supposed to stay there.
And they didn't catch me again until, by the way, $83.50 for those handcuffs. And that was in 1972. I just think I was overcharged. That's all I'm saying. Again, somebody owes me some money. So I didn't even think twice of it. And one thing leads to another. A couple weeks later, I get a knock at the door of my house. I go to the door, and they don't have my picture or anything, and it's a constable and a state cop, and they go, "Are you Tim Grealish?" And I said, "No, I'm his brother Dan." "What did that asshole do now?" Well, we had a little discussion, and I told him where my brother lived. And he hates this story, by the way. And so they get in the car, and they're going to their car, and I go, "Oh, by the way, remember this. He lies so bad. He's gonna lie." So they get in the car. It was about 40 minutes later, I get a call from my sister-in-law. I can't even understand her. "Police, get me arrested. Your brother, I'm going to get your brother. He thinks he's you." And yeah, they arrested him, and he didn't have any ID on him. Body cavity search. Yeah. And every Thanksgiving, I have to hear the same fucking story. What a jag. I hit for my brother. I'd take a hit for my brother, wouldn't you? Okay, maybe not that. But it's just one of those things that we, you know how we are. I'm driving down Route 79 with 5 pounds of Black Lebanese hash in my car, and I'm so stoned, and you know when you're stoned and you're driving, it's like coloring. You just kind of stay in between the lines. And I'm going real slow because I'm not, and people are zooming past me 1,000 miles down, thinking you're going to get stuffed, man. All of a sudden in the back, woo, woo, I see a light. The guy comes up, he goes, sir? And I go, was there something wrong? He goes, you know how fast you're going? I said, no. He said, 9. But, you know, all of a sudden the addict mind kicks in. Well, you know, like I'm having like transmission problems, and he says, okay, follow me to the rest stop. I'm thinking, this guy's an idiot. I got curling black smoke coming out of my car. Oh my God. But anyway, you know, shit like that happens to people like this all the time. Thank God we still are brain gacks enough to understand sometimes that we can get out of stuff, but it's not going to get out very long as we continue to use. Yeah, the lies only work for so long, and I'm glad the lie is dead. And you know what that lie is, right? Addicts can't get clean. That lie is dead. We can all get clean. We all can stay clean. So I'm going to go and not stay in a cabin. Lance has air conditioning. I can't believe it. I'll say this. Well, I want to make one comment about spirituality, and that is that when I first got clean, I can remember looking for something spiritual and trying to search for a higher power. And what I noticed was, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses coming to my door and banging on my door and talking to me and saying, you know, we're the chosen people and you should become a Jehovah's Witness. Now, you know, I just talked to them and I drove them crazy, and they walked away. I put the Catholics, if you kneel, sit, stand, kneel, sit, kneel, bingo, communion, confession, yeah, you're one of the chosen people. The Baptists think they're one of the chosen people. The Jews think that they're the chosen people. And the thought occurred to me early on that everybody right here, right now, you should all be dead. Right? Yes. Tell me I'm wrong. As a matter of fact, you should all be dead multiple times. But you're not. You tell me who the chosen people are. Thank you.
All right, I'd like to thank you, Tim, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us. We have a nice way of closing. Please help us form a circle without injury.
That ain't gonna happen.
Without any tripping.
All right, we got it closed up.
Yep.
Moment of silence, please.
Prayer.
God, grant us serenity to accept the pain.
change. The courage to change the things that I can. And to listen to another
I'll make sure you get there safe.
Give me one man, what?
Hey, what's going on? Thank
you.
I didn't even see you there. I'm so